announcements for, guess what the soap is for next week? Wow, you guys are smart. You keep right on up, right? Look who's here. David Brooks, you're in the doghouse. Come on up here. I just want everybody to look at you. No. You just stand up there. It says, I want everybody to look at you. You're not nearly as cool as your photo. I'm just saying. I thought. I love you, brother. God bless you. Put a face to who you're going to be praying for this week. All right, man? God bless you, brother. Go sit down. Go ahead. Appreciate you. Go sit down. Paul continues in Romans in his debate, basically concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. And he brings up Abraham and David, perhaps a couple of the biggest names in the patriarchal Jewish heritage. No one was really more important to the Jews than Abraham, founder of the Jewish nation, and David, the giant slayer and king. It was to them that God had given promises concerning the temple and concerning his people. They were proud to call themselves sons of Abraham. They saw themselves as special, referring to the Jews. Indeed, many considered themselves very special and the sons of Abraham because God had found favor with them. And because God had chosen them to pour out his favor, God would certainly never reject us. What sense of pride do you have? Well, you know, I'm a King James only Baptist. Well, I'm good. I'm Catholic. I'm an American. I'm entitled to heaven. What sense of pride do you hold on to? The Jews were holding on to many things that made them feel secure, that made them feel righteous, that made them feel above everyone else. And Paul was pretty clear to just dismantle all of it, all that they thought they were special and what they had thought they were special about because of Abraham. Paul was enlightening them about being a son of Abraham and what that really meant. We have the same tendencies to hold on to the things that are not things of God or to not worth hanging on to. We can quickly fall into a sense of security, false idols, false images, false identity. We can hope in the wrong things. We can rely on the wrong things. And we have to dismantle our own idols at times in our own lives. Even people will let us down. Anybody ever been disappointed by people? Listen carefully. I've been disappointed by myself. If that don't bring it home, I don't know what does. Here's your next slide. Abraham was justified by faith, not works. And we say that, believe that. Now let's dive into it a little bit, because that's a huge statement. If you're a Jew and you're looking at Abraham for justification by your heritage, and Paul says, no, it's by Abraham's faith. It is not his ceremonial acts. It was not the circumcision. It was his faith. It was his faith and hope in God that were counted to him as righteousness. And this is the recurring point over and over and over again. If we're going to understand this passage, it all draws back to faith. And this is Paul's point. Whether Jew or Gentile, faith is what matters. Faith is what makes us offspring of Abraham. Or is that God the God of the Jews only? He's God of all. In this blessedness, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. That's verse 9. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it before the circumcision or after? It was before. This is a continuation of the same argument even from our last chapter. God is God of both Jews and Gentiles. He is God of all. He is Lord of all. He is creator of all. Imagine sitting there in Rome in a fellowship of believers that are mixed with Jews and Gentiles. It's a very metropolitan city. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and people are gathering from all kinds of different beliefs and backgrounds, and Jews and Gentiles and different types of gods. And the Jews are hearing that their heritage cannot save them. And the Gentiles are hearing about this God that's welcoming and gracious and kind and loving. God smiled upon Abraham not because he performed rituals, not because he performed works of circumcision. And this is terrific news if we can grab hold of it and understand it. Abraham was blessed long before any kind of ceremonies were introduced, long before any rituals and religious icons were ever taking place. See, and I can recognize that in my own life. Maybe you can too. Long before I understood anything about the church, I was blessed. Long before I understood anything about the details of faith, I was blessed. Long before I knew how to spell Leviticus, I was blessed. I'm sure I still don't know how to spell it properly. I had all kinds of misconceptions about who this Jesus was. And I thought all kinds of weird things about Jesus. Yet, I was blessed. Yet, God's favor was upon me. Jesus saw through all my misunderstandings. And he saw right into the heart of faith. I was called out. I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Even though I didn't understand everything. And so were you. Abraham was promised and given a covenant with God that promised that he would be the father of many nations. So should your offspring be, as countless as the numbers of the stars. And here's your next one. Faith receives the promise of God. Faith receives promise from God. Is it God, give me a promise and then I'll have faith? See, the Bible's filled with promises. It's meaningless unless you have faith. Show me something that I might believe. Why don't you believe and I'll show you something? Abraham stood on that hope and on that promise, even though he did not fully understand all of it. We are descendants of Abraham's faith. It's not law, it's not heritage, it's not culture, it's not denomination. It's faith. It's having the same faith as Abraham had in God. He didn't just believe in God, he believed God. What do you mean when you say we're all grafted in? What does that mean when a Gentile says we're adopted in? By faith. By faith, the same faith that Abraham had, you display the same faith in that glorious God. We have in the redemptive work of his son Jesus Christ have been grafted in and adopted in. We're part of the family of God. We are offspring of Abraham, not by seed, not by culture, by faith. Made part of the family as an heir to the promises that were made by faith. We're part of the stars in the sky. We're part of that number. Believers are fulfillment of the ancient covenants spoken and promised to Abraham. Or did you think it was just lineage? Did you think it was just culture? Did you think it was just you had to be a Jew and then you were a son of Abraham? Or are you understanding Paul's argument that it wasn't just heritage and culture? It was the faith that Abraham has that makes you a brother and sister, an offspring. You understand? And I need something of that, like that. I need something to hope in. I need somewhere to place this measure of faith. I need somewhere bigger than the government. I need something bigger than the president. I need something bigger than philosophy, bigger than this earth, bigger than this life. Please don't tell me this is all there is, God. This is it. You're the supreme God of all, and you've given us all you've got. This is it. Tell me there's more. Please tell me there's more. Oh, just have faith. Just have faith. Just have faith, and I will show you. Abraham held on to a promise. He hoped in a promise from God that he received by faith. Do we have any promises from God? Do we have any hope at all? I want to receive my promise. Which promise is mine, God? Which ones apply to me? God made a promise to Abraham that he received by faith, but that's not my promise. God made a promise to David that he received by faith. It's not my promise, that's David's promise. What's my promise? Do we have any promises from God? How about this? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble. You will find rest for your soul. Does that sound like a promise? Does that sound like a promise you want to hold on to by faith? And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in the Messiah Jesus. God shall supply all your needs. Does that sound like a promise to be received by faith? What must you work to do to accomplish and fulfill that kind of promise? There's nothing you can't do enough. And that's the point. It's never been about you. It's been about your faith in what God can do. And if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Oh, that's my confession. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. If you're like me, you're hoping in some of those promises of God. I'm standing in my faith, looking at those promises and going, God, please, I'm holding you to your promises that you've made to me, to us, to your children, to your offspring of Abraham. There are promises for your forgiveness. There are promises for your redemption. There's promises for your comfort. There's promises for your strength. There's promises for your resurrection and glorification. There's promises for grace and mercy and eternal life. There's promises for wisdom. How many of you have been asking for wisdom? Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And if you would only receive it by faith, it's already given. And you'll spend years asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. Walk in faith. God has given me by his promise. If you can grab hold of some of these promises, man, it'll change your life. Here's your next slide, by the way. God keeps all his promises. He's like a shield for those that seek his protection. By faith, stand on the promises of God. Walking in those promises, you'll learn to walk without fear. You'll learn to walk without doubt. You'll learn to walk in the confidence of God. And how many times do we look at others and just go, ye of little faith? And God looks at us and goes, ye of little faith. Faith will do this. Here's your next one. Faith rests in the power of God. Faith rests in the power of God. Now we should rest, right? Even that passage of scripture, come to me who all are weary and burdened. Anybody weary and burdened? I will give you rest for your soul. Now, not rest like become lazy couch potatoes. Rest in the assurance that God keeps all his promises, that God does what he says he's going to do. Did Abraham believe what God told him? Verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God whom he believed, and God who gives life to the dead. You were dead. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. He called you into life. You know there had to be times, though, if we're realistic and we try to think about, you know, think about Abraham. There had to be times. If you know the story of Abraham, maybe he questioned. I don't know. Where did he start to think? Maybe he started to waver, and then the scripture says he didn't waver in his faith. He stayed strong. Maybe Sarah was pushing him a lot. Maybe Sarah was asking, when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? Hey, I have faith in God too, but when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? We're old, you know. You're pushing 100 years old there, Abraham. When's this going to happen? And if you know the story, maybe she had a lot of fears and doubts and uncertainty. Time's a ticking. Together, certainly. Waiting is the hardest part, right? I don't think he doubted in his faith. Scripture's pretty clear about that. Maybe he questioned God's timing. Anybody ever question God's timing? I know this about God. He's into the last minute. What you call the last minute, he calls right on time. Maybe he questions God's methods. God's radical way of doing things. Maybe he made some mistakes along the way. Anybody ever make mistakes along the way? You can relate to Abraham in a lot of ways. And isn't it just like us to want it now? Isn't it like us to want everything all at once? Fulfill all those promises now. I need it now. I want it now. How about this? Let me help you out, God. Let me help you out, God, and I'll find a way. I'll start doing things. I trust your promises, but you're taking way too long. I have hope in you, Lord, but it doesn't feel right. Hey, don't you know, God, the struggle that I'm going through day after day after day after day? Don't you see the storm? Didn't you see the giant? Don't you see the problems that are in front of me? Don't you see a church of mixed bag of nuts? Don't you see a church, a bunch of misfits that just admitted to making mistakes? Don't you see us, God? When are you going to do something? What are you waiting for? Oh, what? I still don't understand everything yet? You mean I'm still way back there? I still don't understand everything. Abraham was already old. His body was already as good as dead. Sarah was already old also. How is it even possible to be the father of many nations? You know, God, you say some funny things, God. 100 years old and you're going to be a father. Sure. Born again. What? What? Die to live? Drink my blood. You say some funny things, Lord. You mean I don't understand it all yet? Abraham could not see what God was going to do. Could he possibly even see how God was going to do it? But he held on to a hope and held on by faith, and he saw the power of God fulfilled in his life. And you will see the power of God fulfilled in your life. Here's your next slide. If you allow God to do only what God can do. God doing only what God can do. I need God to move in my life. I desire God to move in my life. I want to see him move in the life of the church. I've kind of had enough of the world. Anybody else? I've had enough of man's exploits. I've seen enough death. I've seen enough half-hearted attempts at praise and worship. I've seen enough even in my own efforts. There are times I've had enough of me. I need God to intervene. We need God to intervene and do only what God can do. We need to see the power of God displayed in our lives. We need to see the power of God explode into revival. We need to see that God can do those things that only God can do. I was as good as dead, and he brought me back to life. I was as good as dead, and he brought me out of the mire. He pulled me out of the pit. I was far away, and God brought me near. I was a wretched sinner, and God gave me hope. Listen, I had to die to understand what it is to live. Die to self? You say funny things, God. You think you understood all that God has for you? He pulled me out of the muck and the mire. Do you think I understood everything? At that point, I still don't understand everything. And you're lying to yourself if you think you do, because you can't do what God can do. You need to have faith that God will do only what God can do. And stand in it and walk in it and have confidence in it and speak it and live it. I was lost, wandering in darkness, and he saved me. All our hope rests in the power of God, in Christ alone. If you're hoping in your works, then it's by your power. If you're trusting in the government, then it's in the power of the government. If you're trusting in money or sex or rituals or religion or heritage, then it's all by the power that comes from you. It's all by the power that comes from this world. And it's all a man-made effort. And you can boast about it all you want, all the way to hell. Because that's not the gospel, and that's not faith. Standing what only God can do, and believing in only what God can do. We need the power of God to go beyond this world, to go beyond our works, to go beyond this life. We need something bigger than this world. We need someone bigger than this world, someone bigger than sin and death. And can I tell you, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's, say it. The power of faith and hope flowed through the veins of Abraham. Through his lineage brought Jesus Christ into the world. And blessed an entire world. Jesus replied this way, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me, resting in the power of God and the reassurance that God will do those things that God said he will do. Again, all hope, Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelieving and unbelief regarding the promise of God. He was strengthened in his faith and gave God glory. Here's your next one. See, faith rests in the praise to God. Praising God. I love to praise God. I love to worship God. I love a church that loves to worship God, loves to lift their voice and sing and praise to God. But I want to ask you a very serious question. And this may challenge some of you in your walk. It's your next slide. Is your praise based on rituals? Is your praise and worship based on ceremony? Is your praise and worship dependent on music? If you do not know how to praise God without a drum set, you don't know how to praise God. If you don't know how to praise God without a song, you don't know how to praise God. All this stuff that fills our lives from drums and pianos and guitars and songs, it's all meant to enhance our worship, to enhance our praise. It's a tool to bring us to a place of praise and worship and honor and glorifying Him, to enhance all that we do. If you've never praised God in the silence of a sanctuary, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing on a Tuesday afternoon when you're all at home working, doing what it is you do, and I sit right here and I listen. I don't talk. I don't talk at God. If you've never praised God while standing at the shore and looking out of the ocean, you do not know the majesty of God. If you've never looked at a newborn and heard the cries of a healthy baby, you can't say you know how to praise God. Crying of a baby in the corner and irritate the living stuffing out of you, or you can go, I am so glad to hear the voice of a child. You choose. We have such high hopes, a blessed hope. We have all that he has done for us and all that he will do. He deserves all our praise. Listen, he deserves the drum sets and the grand pianos and the electric guitars. He deserves all the ukuleles and he deserves all the dancing. He deserves all the banners and all the flags. He deserves all the hands raised and he deserves our silence. He deserves so much more than your ritualistic ceremonies of praise. He, the good Lord Almighty, should have your life. Should have your life. All of you. The good, the bad, the pretty, and the not so pretty. You want to praise God properly? Praise Him with your generosity and your cheerful giving. You want to praise God in authority? Pray with your spouse and your children out loud. You want to praise God accurately? Lay down your life. Die to self. How was Abraham, with the faith that he had, able to express his praise to God, He didn't have a drum set or a ukulele or an electric guitar. How on earth could Abraham praise God? How did he praise the Lord? Faith. He had faith. He praised God through his faith, through the way he lived his life, for the way he spoke to people, spoke about people, the way he talked to others, and the confidence that he had in the promises of God. His life was a praise to God. Is your life a praise to God? That's a reasonable act of worship, to lay out our lives. We cannot rest on our heritage. We cannot rest on our good works. We need to rest in the works of Jesus Christ himself. All our faith is in you, Lord. And watch what God can do. Watch what he will do with you. Watch what happens when you get out of your own way and you stop forcing God to do things, Judas. Wait and see the blessings that God will cover you with. All this brings him praise. Your life brings him glory. I know this. God starts bragging about you. You'll start laying out your life and God starts blessing you. The devil starts hunting you. We triumph over adversity and we reign victorious. I'm going to continue to point others to Jesus and point them to the cross. I'm going to walk in the ways the faith of Abraham. Jesus is all the hope we need. Jesus is all the promises we need. Jesus has all the power that we need. Let's rest there. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to be here in this place, to hear exciting works of even what you've done with Anna, Father, other parts of the world. I thank you, Father, that you continue to do your good works in and through each and every one of us. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you continue to soften our souls, that we might know this deep-seated faith of Abraham, that we might rest in it, stand strong in it, and walk confidently. Our desire is to serve you well, and we lay out our lives before you. In his precious and holy name, amen. God bless you guys.